It's a schuss and an honor to be here today, as I say every week. One of the highlights of my week is to be with you and to talk Divrei Torah. This week's Parsha, Parshas Chayesara. We have so many things to talk about, but we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple questions, and then we're going to come out with that major yesod, that major foundation point that we could bring into our lives in a very real way. The Torah tells us in Parakhav Gimel Pasuk Aleph, Mayu Chayesara, Mea Shana, the Esrim Shana, Usheva Shanim, Shnei Chayesara. And Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years, the years of Sarah's life. So we know the famous Medrash that says from last week's Parsha that Sarah heard the news about Akedas Yitzchak, quoting down, Rashi bringing down, right in the beginning of the Parsha, Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar, Lamed Beis, that she heard about Akedas Yitzchak, and then Parcha Nishmasam Imenu, her soul flew from her, the Mesa, and she passed away and she was Nifter. And there's a fascinating Medrash. The Medrash says that Rabbi Akiva was in the middle of giving shir, the great Rabbi Akiva. And his students were megamgam. His students were falling asleep. It's funny because I was telling over my students this Medrash and they were sleeping. So I felt like I was like Rabbi Akiva. And he said the following, they were falling asleep, and he said, to try to wake them up, Lisora, says the Medrash, he says, we know that Esther Amalka had 127 provinces, 100, Meve Esther and Misheva Midinot, and Ma Rasa, what caused Esther to become the queen? Says the Medrash, that the fact that she comes from Sarah, and Sarah lived 127 years. And then the Talmidim got up. So Mefarshim are trying to explain what is this Medrash saying? 127 and 127, I see the common theme. And why was it specifically Rabbi Akiva? And his students got up? What's the message from this Medrash? Rashi tells us right in the beginning of the parasha, question 2, that we know it says, "Vayu chaye Sarah, mea shana, v'esrim shana, v'sheva shanim." And Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years. If I would ask someone, how old are you? And the person is 35, and he would say, I am 30 and 5 years. Right away, you think, I don't know, what's the deal? What's the story with this person? So the Torah says 100 years, and 20 years, and 7 years. So Rashi obviously picks up on this, and he says, why is it breaking up years? Says Rashi, Lomar lecha, shekol echa nidrash la'atzmo. Each one has its own medrash. Kibas esrim lechet, bas mea kibas esrim lechet. When she was 100, she was really like 20 to sin. Mabat esrim lochato, just like if someone when they're 20 they don't have any onshin. Shere ain't a bas onshin. At bas meya, so too when she was 100 years old she didn't have a sin. Ubas esrim, and when she was 20 years old kibat sheva, she was like 7 years old liyofi, for beauty. I said if anyone were looking at my 7-year-old. You know, so what's Rashi saying? That when she was 100, she was like 20. And when she was like 20, she was like 7 for beauty. Really? A 20-year-old? If you would ask someone who's more attractive, a 20-year-old or a 7-year-old, I don't think they would say that a 20-year-old, that a 7-year-old is more attractive than a 20-year-old. So what's Rashi saying? Furthermore, it says, Shnei chaye Sarah, kulin shavin latova. All of her years were for good. But is that true? Really? All of her years were for good? She had a lot of hard years. She wasn't able to have children for so many years. She had to deal with a Hagar. She had to deal with a Yishmael. She had to go through all the Nisyonos. So, Kulan Shavin Latova, all of her days were for good. And lastly, a very famous question. So we know that the first part of the Parsha is talking about Chaye Sarah. And it doesn't really mean Chaye Sarah, because this was Avram dealing with Ephron the Russia trying to get Mars Hamachpelah. So it wasn't her life, it was talking about the end of her life, Chayei. But Medrash says that the tzaddikim, they through, even after they're dead, they're still here because they're tzaddikim. Just like Vayechi, that we know that Vayechi, Yaakov Avinu, is giving over the brachas, he passes away in that parsha, but still it's called Vayechi. But then we have a whole section of the story of Avram telling Eliezer to go and find a wife for his son Yitzchak. And we know that Avram turns, again in the Torah, he's not called Eliezer, he's called the Eved of Avraham. And he turns to, Avram turns to him, in Perakov Dalet, Pasuk Beis, Vayomer Avram el Abdo Zaken, Beitel HaMoshel, and he says, Simno Yacho Tachas Yerchi, go make a shvua, and swear to me, Pasuk Gimel, Chavdalet Gimel, swear to me, Asher lo tikach isha, libini bibnos kanan, Asher anochi yoshei bekirbo. Make sure that you don't take a wife from Benos Kanan. Rather, you have to go to a different land and take a different and get him a wife from there. So ask the Kliyakar, ask the Ran, everyone did Avodah Zarah. So why specifically could he not go to Canaan? Why could he not take a wife from Canaan? It's so local, it's right there. Why did he have to go all the way to Haran? And he had to go, as we know, Rivka came from the house of Bethuel, and Lavan, they were not such good people either. So what's the difference? Why was Esther Ran, Esther Kliyakar, why was Avraham telling Eliezer that he has to take a wife for Yitzchak from Canaan? So again, three questions. Make sure we have it clear. The first question is, this Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, 127 with Esther, 127 with Sarah's life. Furthermore, that we know that the years of Sarah's life were 127. When she was 100, she was like 20 for chate, for sin. And when she was 20, she was like a 7-year-old in beauty. And all of her years were for good. And why we should go the other way? We should go 7 to 20 to 20 to 100. Why are we going from 100 to 20 to 20 to 7? It should be the opposite order. I just threw in that question, but that's part of that question. And the last question, the famous question, why did Eliezer have to go and get a wife from Yitzchak, not from Canaan? What was so specific about Canaan? So last week, we spoke about the interesting yisod, the interesting idea of whose test was it? Okay, this Yitzchak, right? Was it Avram's test? Was it Yitzchak's test? And we spoke about Avram the past couple weeks. Had been Avram all for the boss, living for the Ribbono Shel, right? Always give a shout out to my mother, who all for the boss. We see people, and we're all living for the boss. All for the boss, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, a book about him. But we're all living for the boss. We're all here to build that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we want to live with the boss. We want to live with Hashem. And it's very fascinating, because if someone would ask, what was the hardest test for Avraham? Right? We know the Mishnah Pirkei Avos tells us in Parakeh that Asar Nisyonos for Avraham. So most Rishonim say that the hardest test was Akedas Yitzchak. However, comes along the great Rabbi Yona, and Rabbi Yona says that the hardest test was this week's Parsha, was the burial of his wife Sarah. And of course, that's a hard test. Obviously, when a person loses someone, but why was it a harder test than, why was it the pinnacle, the last test? According to Rabbi Yona, why was that last test, why was this even greater than the test of Akedas Yitzchak? So, Mefarshim are trying to figure out what is this test about. And Refran, in his beautiful Sefer on the Parsha, gives a couple answers. And he says, the first answer is that Avram could have said, listen, I reached my pinnacle point. I just showed the Ribbono Shel Olam that I'm here, I'm ready to live Al Kiddush Hashem. We spoke about the difference between living Al Kiddush Hashem and dying Al Kiddush Hashem. Obviously no one wants to plan on dying Al Kiddush Hashem, but there's a higher level of living Al Kiddush Hashem. And Avram showed the world, he showed us, every Rosh Hashanah we read the Akedas Yitzchak, and we say it in davening every single morning, the idea of Akedas Yitzchak, showing the Ratzon of a God, that I'm here for you, I want to serve you. And Avram reached the pinnacle point. But then he was hit with another challenge. And Avram could have said, it's enough. Enough, I can't deal with these challenges anymore. And Avram said, I'm still going to go. I'm here to build my relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't understand everything. I'm in this world to serve Him. Sometimes it's beyond my intellect. But I'm still here. And I'm still going to go. And I'm going to do it to do the Ratzon Hashem. Even after I hit such a high point of showing that I'm ready to sacrifice my son, who I was told that I'm going to start with the nation, it's going to continue with Yitzchak, but I don't understand. And then he's faced with another challenge. So it shows that Avram never gave up. Rav Jonathan Sacks, who was a real leader, who was just nifter, a real leader in the Jewish world, writes beautifully in his book, Lessons in Leadership. He says beautifully that so much detail, the purchase of Maris Machpelah is so significant because it's recorded in great detail. Three times after, in Bereishis, do we hear about Maris Machpelah. And in Akedas Yitzchak, we don't hear so much. The details are not so full. We have Midrashim that talk about it, but it's not so great. However, we know that even after all these challenges, even after right, so Sacks, even after Avram has to bury his wife Sarah, right at the beginning of Perek Chof Dalet, he's told that he's going to go find a wife for his son Yitzchak. He never stops. Why? Because Hashem gave promises. Hashem gave promises to an Avraham. He gave him a promise about the land, and he gave him promises about the children. Seven times in the Torah is he told he's going to get the land. And finally, in this week's Parsha, he goes dealing with an Ephron, dealing with a Russia, but he's able to acquire Maris HaMachpelah, acquiring the land. And furthermore, he's trying to show that I have a child now. He passed the test of Akedas Yitzchak, but now I have to get him married. Says or Sacks, God promises, but we have to act. Despite all the promises, God does not and will not do it alone. He wants us to take the leadership. And that's what Avraham is showing us. Avraham is showing us this idea that even though I'm dealing with challenges, and even though I'm promised, I'm going to take God's promises, and I'm going to go create the nation now. That's the first idea to answer up. Even after Akedas Yitzchak, dealing with the Maris HaMachpelah, acquiring that land to bury his wife, showing the leadership of an Avraham. Where Fran writes another beautiful idea. Really, Avraham, he's having a bad day. He just lost his wife. And all of a sudden, he's dealing with this Ephron. And in Torah Shabbal Peh, you see how bad he's changing his wages back and forth. But Avraham teaches us a very important idea. The idea is that we can't let our moods, even if we're not in a good zone and we're not feeling it and something happens to us, we can't let our moods affect others. And obviously it's easier said than done. It's definitely easier said than done. I was once talking to one of my children loudly, and they heard me talking about this idea in yeshiva once. And they said, didn't you say that you can't let moods affect others? Well, your mood's affecting me. And I said, well, I don't want it to affect you. It's not really you, it's me. They're like, but you're yelling at me loudly. And I said, it's not you, it's me. Okay, it's easier said than done, obviously. But Avram is teaching us that even when things are bad and gloomy, you can't let moods affect others. And he's dealing with an Ephraim. And he could have just lost it. I'm trying to buy a plot for my wife, and you're changing it over and over. And I have such a difficult life. I don't have my life's partner. I don't have my life's partner. Some of Farshim explained that the fact that he didn't have his wife, he didn't have the guidance of his wife. He had no one to go to. That was a big test. He had to do everything alone. But moods can't affect others. One of my Rebbeim, Rav Elk, told me, one of his Rebbeim, Rosh Yeshiva Brisk, Rav Avraham Yehoshua. Rav Avraham Yehoshua has all of Yeshiva Brisk on his head. He's involved in all the finances. He's involved in everything. And he said that before he walks home, when he gets home, before he knocks on the door, he tells himself that everything that's going on in yeshiva, all the difficulties, I can't let it affect my house. Obviously, this is easier said than done. But he comes in a different person, smiling, because he knows that if he looks at his wife a different way or shows that he's upset, it will affect her, because he doesn't want his mood to affect others. They tell a great story of Shlomo Zalman Orbach, a famous story. Shlomo Zalman Orbach was in the hospital and he just lost his wife, Nebuch, his best friend. They did everything together, Shlomo Zalman's wife. Crazy stories. At his Levi, he said, I don't have to ask for Mechila because we never got into a fight. Okay, crazy stories. They had such a special relationship, Shlomo Zalman and his wife. And he just lost his wife. And he's in the hospital and someone sees him. They see the Gadol Ador. And they come over and they're like, Gadol Ador, you never guess. I just had a baby. Such a big simcha. Literally 5 minutes before his wife was nifter, Shlomo Zalman looks at the person and says, wow. Wow, what a simcha, unbelievable. And then later on, that person finds out Shlomo Zalman Orbach lost his wife, and he had no idea. Tremendous. These are tremendous gedolim. When we hear stories of these tremendous people, some people will say, oh, these people, they're above me. And they are above us. But we can learn from their ways. Don't let our moods affect others. Grow from them. Get inspiration from them. And we all could do it in our own ways, in small steps. So what's pshat in this medrash? What's pshat in the medrash? 127. So I was once in the old city. And I was in the old city, and I saw Rav Nevinson, the great tzaddik, one of the gedolim, Yushalayim. And he was walking with someone, who was helping him by. And whenever you see a gadol, it's my grandfather, Rav Bamzerl of Hashem, always told me, you always have to have a Dvar Torah in your back pocket. And it must have been this Parsha, or around this Parsha, or I heard this, I saw this Medrash. And I went over to Rav Nevinson and I said, what is this Medrash saying? And he smiled at me and said two words. Koyach Hazman, the power of time. And then later I found a Chedush HaRim. And the Chedush HaRim says something very powerful. The Chedush HaRim says that 127 provinces, 127 years of Sarah's life, if you do the math, 127 divided by 127, that means every year one province went up. That's the math he does. That means that he goes through a whole calculation. It's amazing. Look at the Chiddush HaRim inside. He says every month there were communities built. Every hour there were cities, and every second there was another house that went up. What Rabbi Akiva was telling his students, Koyach Hazman, you have the ability to greatness. Wake up, be Hisorer, wake up, realize that your time is precious. Realize that we could make dents in the world. The Nefesh HaChaim, Rav Chaim Volozhin writes, that every second of the Torah, we're doing mitzvos, we're changing worlds. He writes, why do we have jet lag? Everyone gets upset with jet lag. Why do we have jet lag? Because there can't be 1 second without Torah. The whole world exists on the Torah. And the whole world exists with our time. And our time is precious. We said in Parshas Noach that Noach Matzachin. Why? Because he had a mitten hand. And now he had Etzba'ot, said the Medrash. Why Etzba'ot? Etzba'ot showed that he was able to do things more quickly. He was a farmer. Now he was able to do things quickly. The Kedushas Hazman. They tell a great story of the great Rav Naftali Trupp. Rav Naftali Trupp was the Gadol Hador in Radin. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shmo. And he was very sick, and he was in yeshiva. And they were trying to figure out, he was sick, and they wanted him to get better in yeshiva. And they went around asking people to donate, give certain parts of their life for the granat to get him better. And he did. He had a quick refuah shlema. And they went to the Chafetz Chaim, and they said, Chafetz Chaim, how much time of your life can you give to the great Rosh Hashiva? And the Chofetz Chaim said, I'll give 1 minute. Wow. Because the power of time. And maybe our minutes don't count, but our hours count. We have to realize the Kedushas Hazman, how much we can accomplish. And I saw another answer. We see in Megillas Esther, Mordechai comes to Esther in Perek Dalet, in Pasuk Yud Dalet, he says, Ki machresh tachrishi, Be'ez hazos, revach v'hatzala, yamod la'yehudim. For if you persist in keeping silent at a time like this, relief and deliverance will come to the Jews from another place. V'atu beit avicha tovidu, and you're going to lose out. Mordechai turns to Esther and says, you have the ability to save Kal Yisrael. And if you don't do it, it will happen somewhere else. God will make it happen. But you have the ability to do it. And do you know what? Sarah's whole life, Sara Imenu's whole life was about this idea. Was that I'm always going to be doing more. I'm always going to be giving. I'm always going to be doing more. And Esther learned it from Sara. 127 years. Says Rashi. 127 years. That 100 was like 20 and 20 was like 7. Really? A 7-year-old is more beautiful than a 20-year-old? Yeah, because at 20 years old, you could be beautiful, but at 7, there's purity. There's no, you don't need to do anything. You have purity, straight with a child, they're beautiful. All her years were Latova. Really, all the years were Latova? Yeah, but she had hardships. But even though she had hardships, she was able to realize that everything is for a reason. I'm here with God. I'm going to serve God. And then when a person's going through a difficulty, obviously you can't say this to them. And we don't always understand everything. But you look back and you see, wow, look what God does. Kulam shonim letova. The Ksav Kabbalah says that why does it say shnei chaye saram, plural? Because she was able to take the guf, the body, and the neshama, our soul, and she was able to make it into one. She was able to make the guf and the ruchani. It's similar to that Ramban. Ramban writes that when he was saying Bereishis, Nasa Adam Kitzalmenu, Nasa. Why plural? What's Nasa? Says the Ramban. Because you have the ability to take the guf, the body, and the neshama, and fuse it into one. And that's what Sarah was about. Sara was about this idea that she was able to fuse the guf, the body, with the neshama. Kula shanim letova, that all of her years were letova, because she had the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and she never gave up. Just like in Avram, that we were saying, was his biggest nisayon was burying a Sara. Sara also, the avos, the Avram and the Saras, they just never stopped. And they had hardships, but they never stopped. And they were able to look back and say, wow, I'm here for the Rabbona Shalom. They were able to utilize their time, maximize their time. Comes along the Kli Yakar, and the Kli Yakar and the Drushas Haran. And they say, why specifically Why did Rivka, why did Eliezer, Eved Avram, have to take a wife not from Canaan? They all were involved in Avodah Zarah. So it says the Kli Yakar, Avram's house was a house of Torah. Avram's house was a house of Emunah. Avodah Zarah is intellectual. They would be able to knock out the intellectual problems. They would learn Torah. They would see an Avram. They would see someone involved. That wouldn't be a problem. But you know what the problem was? Where is she coming from? Where are her midos? Says the Drasha Haran, the midos, the character traits of Canaan, they were not good. Avram told Eliezer, you have to go to a different place. You have to go to Haran because there are midos tovos. And if you look in the whole story, right, Rashi brings down, Rashi says, that even the Avodim or the Avos, 67 extra psukim, just to show us how great even the Avodim or the Avos are. But what does it show us? The whole story of Rivka going and giving water to Eliezer, and then going giving water to all the camels. The Midrashim say she might have been only 3 years old. Maybe she was older, but the amount of work she had to do. What was it showing us? So Rashi tells us in Parakhov Dalit, Pasuk Yedalit, Roy Hulo, Shatei Gomeles Chasadim. She was a person of Gmilas Chasadim. She did acts of kindness. And the Rashi brings down from the Medrash that her whole life, that after Sarah, she was going to take over the house of Sarah. Because Sarah was a person of chesed, always giving of herself, always more, as much as I could do. And Rivka was a person that represented chesed. So therefore, he had to take a wife not from Canaan. Because if you want to build your life and build Klal Yisrael to continue the legacy of an Avraham, you need to have chesed. And chesed is something that's taught from parents to children. It's the character traits, the midos tovos, that's brought from generation to generation to generation. And we're in this world to build our character traits. We have different tevas, and we have different natures. But the more that we're able to build ourselves, to work on our character traits, and to give it over to the children, that's what it represents. So the Medrash tells us, of Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva was a person that never gave up. Even at age 40, he never stopped. He put himself, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that he put himself in Kita Aleph at age 40 because he said, Koyach Hazman, although I'm 40, I'm still not going to give up. And that's what Esther was this person realizing that I have a responsibility, learning it from Sarah. And Sarah was a person that her whole life was chesed. Her whole life was trying to give as much as you can. And that was Rivka. So the yisod that we understand is that we all have the koyach of zman. We all have the koyach of time. We need to utilize and make our time precious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us all in this world to work, to become His chosen nation, because we are His chosen nation, and to become leaders. As Jonathan Sachs, Ovo Shalom, said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the promise, now we have to go and act upon it. Bezras Hashem, we should just build. We should learn from the Avos. We should realize how much we have, realize how great we are, and just keep on going further with our Torah, with our Chesed, and with our Tefillah. Everyone should have an amazing Shabbos.